Well, good evening, all of you, and welcome to the 2013 Feast of Tabernacles here in Central Oregon, the Ben Redmond area. This is the 15th year that we've held the feast here. Mr. Iams asked, can you imagine 2013? I can't even imagine summer's over. I mean, it was 80-some degrees a few days ago, and all of a sudden, thud, here comes fall weather, and we're here at the Feast of Tabernacles. I was doing the math in my head. It's a good thing I took a little while because it's actually worse than I thought. It's been 41 years since some of us thought that everything was going to come to an end. Remember that, some of you old folks? 41 years. That's a long time, for sure. Well, I'd like to welcome all of you out on the cybercast as well, and glad you're able to tune us in and wish you could be here in person and hope that you can next year. Well, it's been a long-standing church tradition on opening night to ask some questions regarding where you're from, how long you've been attending the feast. And I'd like to do that again. It's always interesting to see the logistics, you might say, or the that's not the right word, but anyway, where everybody's here from and also how long you've been attending. So how many are here that are transferring from another feast area? Could I see your hands? Okay, that number has gone substantially down. I don't know if it's because the airlines and all the things they're doing or what, but the economy, probably a combination of the above. So the rest of you, I assume, are here for your assigned site, right? See your hands? It used to be 50-50. Look at the difference now. That's certainly a sign of the times, isn't it? Same was true last few years. Anybody here from east of the Mississippi? Okay, what state? Kentucky, oh, welcome, the bluegrass state, my favorite kind of music. Anybody else that I miss, anybody east of the Mississippi? Oh, that's right, you're out at ABC, okay, there's a doubles an eye test here. That's Rugen Lawler, okay, and over here, yes, sir?
Illinois.
And you look familiar. Okay. I often say, you know, you remember faces, not names. Wouldn't it be funny if you went up to somebody, oh, hi, Mr. Smith, let's see, what was your face again? So I guess that makes sense. Anybody here from Canada? Okay, very good. A few from north of the border. And Mexico, Nadie, okay. Or any other country? They're probably still traveling to get here, so... Okay, this is the kind of fun one. Who's here for the feast for the very first year to ever attend Feast of Tabernacles? Anybody? All right. Oh, yeah, there you go. I never thought of that. Hold up the babies. Wow, that's true. That's very good. I learned something there. That's good. How about the first year to attend here in the Ben Redmond area? How many? Okay. Okay, be sure and come back next year, if you would. We have a tradition, if you don't come back next year, you have to send two people in your place, so. Okay, this one I really enjoy. How many have been here every year we've held the feast here? I know there are some of you, of course. Okay, I'm going to give you folks a hand. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, and this, how many have been attending 10 years or more? Probably most of the hands are going to go up, right? Oh, look at that. Look at that. How about 20? 30, 40 or more, 50, anybody? Okay, 50, more than 50? Okay, you were probably about like that little baby when you, that's right, and you started. Anybody 60? Wow, really? Would you come here when you were a baby, is that right? Yeah, okay. How many years? 60? 60, exactly. Anybody more than 60? How many? 60. I know you were a baby when they... Yeah, that's right. Okay, anybody else more than 60? Okay. All right, well, I'm going to ask you another question. How many of you have ever been to an orientation ceremony at a new school or a new job or something like that? Very good, okay. Well, for those of you that are not familiar with an orientation ceremony, its purpose is to prepare new students or new workers to the school or place of employment. Job orientation provides employees with essential knowledge, about and fundamentals about working for the company. One person described the job orientation by saying it's an introduction process that can take anywhere from 2 to 3 hours. You'll get a grand tour of your new workplace and introduced to some of your new coworkers. Another person said, well, you're going to fill out a lot of paperwork, which is often true in those things as well. Student orientation, I know we've got a lot of students here. Some of you probably just started, I don't know what they call them now. They used to call them grade school and, you know, elementary school, that kind of stuff, and high school, and they have different names now. But some of you go probably started out in different schools. I know one person in here. In fact, I might see a show of hands. How many of you in the school that you're at is totally electronic with no books? Anybody? Because I know there's at least one person in here that's the case. That's quite a shock. That would be take some getting used to. Well, student orientation is a period of time at the beginning of the academic year, usually at a university or some other similar institution, during which a variety of events are held to orient and welcome new students. Orientation ceremonies at colleges are longer in duration because they have a lot more, I guess, to acquaint new students with. It can vary from a few days to a month or more, but most commonly it's usually a week, and it's often referred to as orientation week. During this period, students participate in a wide range of social and recreational activities, including live music, other performances, sport challenges, and even, as one quote said, open-air markets. You wonder, where am I going with this? Did I forget the announcements? No, I haven't forgotten the announcements. Actually, all of you should have raised your hands when I asked how many of you have been to an orientation ceremony. Maybe some of you have guessed that by now, because we are actually at an orientation here at the Feast of Tabernacles, an annual orientation to a new world, the thousand-year rule of Jesus Christ. You will get a grand tour of the new world in sermonettes and sermons and have an opportunity to meet some of your new co-workers. Our orientation ceremony will last a little longer than a week. Well, actually, the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days. That is exactly a week. And will include a wide range of social and recreational activities, including live music, certainly the special treat tonight that began the feast. A little different, but very enjoyable. Sports challenges. I know that there will be some of those. And also, for some of you, not open-air markets, perhaps, but free time for family activities and shopping. Well, the ladies really go for that. I lose my wife one day every feast that she goes out shopping. And I stay home and hold my breath. No, I'm kidding. She has a good time, and I understand that. It usually coincides with my watching NFL, you know, football games. So she's doing what she enjoys. I do what I'm enjoying, and there you go. All right, so since the feast is an orientation ceremony for the new world, the tenor and schedule of the next 8 days are so different than what we're accustomed to in our normal daily life out there in what sometimes is called the real world, which I take exception to because I think the real world isn't here yet. I think it's going to come when Jesus Christ returns. But you know what I mean. It's so different from our ordinary schedule on the job or at school or whatever your lot in life is and having to deal with the world that we live in. So very different that in these next 8 days will be that we actually need to go through an orientation ceremony in order to get us ready to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And you stop to think about it. I know in my experience, it seems like it takes at least a day to just kind of shift gears and realize, you know, it's different. I mean, I can trust everybody in this room. You know, I can't say that about being out there in the world anywhere. You can't trust people. And so many other differences. So it's really important that we prepare for the upcoming feast in order to enjoy it as an orientation ceremony for the coming kingdom of God on earth. So it's also fitting at this opening night to offer an orientation to the feast itself. So to begin with, we need to be reminded of why we're here. If you want to turn to Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus 23rd chapter, we'll just read this one scripture here. The opening night service, we try to keep it short so that everybody gets off to a good start with a good night's sleep. There are a number of sicknesses, illnesses going around, so we want to really be careful with that. In fact, the manager and assistant banquet manager over at the Comfort Suites are both out sick and have been for the past few days. So anyway, Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 33, first of all. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it." I'll skip over the sacrificial offerings here and move down to verse 36. "On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation," actually a separate but related feast. That's why it's called eighth day. But it clearly says the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days. Okay, so the eighth day is separate but related. "It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it." Verse 39, "Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And going on, verse 41, "You shall keep as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, so that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I'm the Lord your God." Now that, of course, is the instructions for Old Testament Israel. And obviously, the way we keep the feast today is different. We look at what is given there in the instructions to Old Testament Israel, and we understand the principles that God was teaching those people, and we can see and have for some time seen a spiritual counterpart, lessons we can learn from what the Israelites went through. So we understand the spiritual lessons of this historical meaning to portray the coming kingdom of God. And it's typed by, in fact, I went through that, I think, in a sermon last year, about how that the rest that God promised to Israel in the land of Canaan, rest from their enemies, was a type of the complete Sabbath rest that God offers in the millennium, which is during the millennial rule, the thousand-year rule of Jesus Christ. Obviously, we don't go out in the woods and start cutting down trees. We would have protesters outside there if indeed we didn't have the government on their necks shutting us down if we did that. But we understand the principle. They were to dwell in temporary dwellings to remind them of the fact that when they were going out of Egypt on their way to their promised land, they had to dwell in temporary dwelling places. Well, of course, as we know, we have many, many temporary dwelling places. They're called motels, or RVs, or perhaps even tents. I won't ask for any show of hands, but there may be a few people living in tents during the feast as well. That's a lesson. I don't want to go any further because one of our ministers is sweating it out back there because he's going to be talking about that in a sermon. So you'll hear a lot more about that later on. But those are just some of the lessons that we learn from the historical meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles as it was celebrated in Old Testament Israel. Galatians 1 verse 4 makes a very interesting statement that's more relevant to us today in terms of the meaning that we glean. In addition to the historical meaning, I certainly don't want to bypass that as being unimportant because that's part of our legacy as well. But Galatians 1 verse 4 tells us that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father. Now, we are delivered from this evil world, as it's called here, but still, we have to continue living in this world and dealing with all the problems of living God's way in a world that, to a large extent, does not live God's way. And to do so without being influenced by the world or by Satan himself. A very, very challenging responsibility that we have during the year. Satan, of course, as we know in 2 Corinthians 4:4, is referred to as the god of this world. And he's the one that initiates many of the wrong concepts that are out there in the world that we have to deal with in the schools, on the job, and every time you turn in a television set, or we're surrounded with it, immersed in it all throughout the year. And Jesus said in John chapter 17, if you turn over there, starting in verse 15, It'd be nice, you know, if we could just say, well, let's just all get together and buy some land out here in eastern Oregon and somewhere or wherever. I'd recommend better places in eastern Oregon, but anyway, and let's just all live out there and kind of just get away from all this stuff, you know, and just we're not influenced by any of that type of thing. Well, that might be a good idea, but we'd be going against what the Bible says to do. Because notice what Jesus says here in John 17, verse 15. I do not pray you should take them out of the world, meaning geographically. But rather, he said that you should keep them from the evil one. Of course, referring to Satan the devil. They, speaking of God's people, Jesus is praying to the Father. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Meaning we're not part and parcel with this world. But we have to live in the world by Jesus' design. Be hard to be a light to the world if we're way off where nobody could see us, right? Set an example to others. So Jesus says we need to live in this world and yet not be part and parcel with it, not imbibe its wrong customs, not compromise, not do things that are contrary to the laws of God. And he goes on to say, sanctify, which means set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. That's the way he wants us to be separate from the world, not geographically, but by the way we live based upon the teachings of Scripture. As you sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may also be sanctified by the truth. But have you ever thought this is one time of the year where God makes exception and he actually wants us to geographically be out of the world and be together as his people for 8 days, 7 days during the feast, and then the eighth day after that, where we're actually geographically away from the world? Now, I had to make a qualification on that because some of you in here have another 7 days that you're geographically separated from the world. What do you suppose that is? Summer camp. So you have a double opportunity to be away from the world and to live in what is called the zone. You've heard a lot about that over the years. Well, we want to create the zone here at the Feast of Tabernacles as well, to have a spiritual environment that reflects, to some degree at least, the type of environment that will be extant after Satan is put away and Jesus Christ is ruling on earth. So that's quite an adjustment to go from this dog-eat-dog world with all of its wrong values to come into a spiritual environment, and all of a sudden it's so different that we really need to make sure that we go through an orientation process to prepare us to really enjoy the Feast of Tabernacles for the next 7 days and to be able to derive the benefit that God intends, as well as to help create that environment. Because, you know, we didn't pay the facility here. It's, how much does it cost us to have a spiritual environment? We want to be sure and include that. No, we can't rent that. All of us have to provide that. And we come in here still dripping from all the world's pollution that we go through. So it is a period of adjustment. I mean, it is for all of us, myself included. We all have to make sure that we make that transition from the world today into a foretaste of the world tomorrow. Because this is a time to enjoy a foretaste of the coming millennial rule of Jesus Christ. Now, there's really no scripture that actually says that exactly, but there is one that comes very, very close. It's found in Hebrews chapter 6. And the context is actually a negative context. It's talking about the unpardonable sin. But in that passage, verses 4 and 5 of Hebrews chapter 6, it makes a very interesting statement that is true of all of us here this evening and many other, all of God's people down through the ages. It says, starting in verse 4 of Hebrews 6, we have tasted of the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and we have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Or we used to call it the world tomorrow, or the new world, however you want to word it. It says we have tasted of that. We have tasted of the good word of God. We've tasted of the powers of the world to come. Now, I don't know that the writer of Hebrews was thinking about the Feast of Tabernacles when he wrote that, But certainly it's true about the Feast of Tabernacles, isn't it? It is a foretaste of that coming new world. Now, you know, God also made provisions for us to make sure that we do it properly. Because knowing human nature, you know, it's just like the Sabbath. If God didn't give us the Sabbath, there'd be a lot of us in here wouldn't have enough sense to rest a day. We'd be working 24/7 and figure, we can make more money that way until you keel over and, you know, have a heart attack because you overworked or something. And by the same token, if he said, well, now, save enough money to make sure that you really enjoy the feast, we'd save enough money to, you know, go have a meal at fast food places and that type of thing. So, as we know in Deuteronomy chapter 14, he makes a provision. Again, this is addressed to Old Testament Israel, and we glean some principles from this into how we apply it in a very different culture today, apply those principles. Deuteronomy 14, starting in verse 22. He says, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain, your new wine, and your oil, the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, that you're not able to carry the tithe, now that'd be hard to understand. It'd be kind of funny if you didn't understand that they tithe the actual produce. Because if you're thinking of dollar bills, you think, boy, that'd be a pretty rich person. If you had all this money, it's too heavy to even carry here. Or maybe you have discovered some gold somewhere and you get this big sack of gold you're carrying in. No, it's talking about the agricultural tithe. So they had a provision saying if God blessed you so much that there's too much to bring, they had the option there of going on in the next verse, it says, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And of course, since we're not an agricultural society, we do tithe monetarily and also bring our money to the feast rather than... Now, you know, if you brought some produce that don't think you're a heretic, that's okay too. If you wanted to tithe from your garden and bring that and what have you. But I think most of us bring money as the option is given here to even to Old Testament Israel. Take the money in your hand, go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. That's one of the easiest commandments to obey, I would think. Just take this money and just go out and get whatever is really enjoyable for you, to really enjoy the feast. Now, some people say, you know, well, that sounds pretty selfish. Well, you could say that, except for the fact that it goes on in verse 27 and says, you shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. And the principle there is the Levites were needy. So we glean from that the fact that we need to make sure that those who don't have second tithe, festival tithe, are able to enjoy the feast as well. And more, our activities are becoming self-funded because of a limited budget from the church home office. So we really have a responsibility not only to enjoy the feast for us and our families, but also to make sure everyone has an opportunity to enjoy the feast. And furthermore, it's not just a matter of just going out and, having some binge of eating and drinking and that type of thing. There's a reason why God says to enjoy the feast, to rejoice, and to take that money and spend whatever your heart desires. You notice what we read up there earlier in verse 23. It says, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Now you can say, well, maybe that means to trust God to provide you enough money where you can save a festival tithe. I would like to think it means also, if not exclusively, it also refers to the fact that God says, you know, I want you to understand that my way, that my plan is a way that leads to happiness. Because Satan wants you to believe that there's where the happiness is. You only grow once in life, so grab for all the gusto you can. Remember that commercial years ago? Probably decades ago now. But God says, I want you to realize my way of life is enjoyable. So I'm going to tell you, I want you to save 10% of your income that you can bring to the Feast of Tabernacles and buy whatever is going to make you happy and to realize, you know, this is picturing the fact that the world tomorrow is going to be a happy time. In my way of life, my plan is a happy occasion. Is this a happy world? How many of you hear, and I don't raise your hands, but how many of you hear people whistling at work anymore? You never hear that. You know, people used to be happy and they'd whistle. That doesn't happen anymore. The world tomorrow is going to be a happy time, and we need to be happy here at the feast. And so God makes that provision for us to spend that money. Now, basically, it's talking about food, because it says you shall eat there before the Lord your God. How many of you enjoy a nice meal? Do I need to ask? Anybody who doesn't, you better come see me. No, we all do. You know, the word feast is the same as the word eat with just a few more letters added, right? Put an F and S, and that's it, I think, isn't it? But eat and then F, S, you got feast and eat. So God gave Old Testament Israel instructions on how to finance this time of feasting that was designed to teach the whole family the joys of God's way of life. He also reminded them that they need to make provision for the need to rejoice as well. And we understand that today as well, that we need to make provision for being able to enjoy the feast and enjoy fine meals. So I encourage you all to accept the invitation of Psalm 34, verse 8. The word taste, by the way, is literal. You know, I mean, obviously, we enjoy fine food, not just because it's nutritional, but because we enjoy the taste of that. But it also has to do with being able to try something out, okay, that God offers to us. So it's used in a more general sense in Psalm 34, verse 8. I'm going to read this in a New Revised Standard Version. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. So he says, you know, try it out. Test it out. Live God's way. Enjoy it and realize it does bring blessings. It does bring happiness. So I also invite you to enjoy not only good food and festive meals, but also to enjoy the special activities we have planned during the feast, as well as the many recreational opportunities available here in Central Oregon. You know, I never thought about this in this way before this year. I usually say, well, we have our booklet here, so be sure and read this over because we're not going to read anything out of this booklet. It occurred to me, I thought, wait a minute. We got a bunch of new people here. Shouldn't this be a time to orient you, to acquaint you, to give you sort of an overview of what we have planned and the activities for the next 7 days as part of the orientation? Wouldn't it be a good idea to let you know some of the activities that are available in the area to orient you so that you have a heads up on some of the unique advantages and opportunities that this area of the country offers? So if you have your announcements bulletin, I want to just go a quick overview. We'll have detailed announcements later when these activities come out. In fact, I'm going to mention that three of our song leaders are in charge of some of these activities. So I'm going to give them free rein to get up here and promote the activity that they're, when they lead songs, that is, at their discretion, to promote those activities so that you all are invited and realize that you're invited to taste of those activities and enjoy those as part of the feast as well. I want to call your attention, first of all, to the 24-hour phone number, which is right on page one there. It's 408-5770. By the way, these have to have 541 in front of them, I think, now. Isn't that right? Yeah, so it's actually 541-408-5770. Please don't mix that up with the festival number. That's my cell phone. So I'd be happy to anoint you, don't get me wrong. But anyway, the festival office number is my cell phone. So anything you need anytime during the feast, please call me and let me know, because big part of my job, I think the most important part, is to make sure that you have a happy feast. You know, there's a lot of things to coordinate, but it doesn't do any good to coordinate things if you're not having a good time. So if you have a housing problem or anything I can help you with, please let me know, and I'll either help you myself or tell you who can help you out. Okay, and also you notice on the next page some housekeeping things here. As far as traffic is concerned, the handicap drop-off area is right back over here, and we have people here to help you. Mr. and Mrs. Salmon are coordinating that for people who need extra help to get into the building. So it's a drop-off only. We're not allowed to park back here. There are handicapped slots in the very first row of the regular parking lot that you can use for parking. But you are allowed to drive back here to drop off anyone who is handicapped. And in case you don't know, a part of the downside of living in a millennial environment is that we have very tame deer who, you can ask my wife about that. You try to scare them out of the yard and they just sit there and look at you. You can't do anything. It's not deer season. I don't have to run away from you. And unfortunately, they're that way in the highway too. You know, I saw in a cartoon in the paper one time where there's a car that had crashed into a tree. And a couple of deer were talking to each other and they say, you better be careful, because they say where there's one, there's usually more. Talking about the car. Anyway, seriously, the deer are out this time of the year, so please be careful and keep that in mind. And counseling and anointing, there is a 24 number I mentioned there. And I mentioned earlier that there are sicknesses going around, especially flu. So if you feel any kind of symptoms like that, or any of your children do, do not bring your children here to be anointed. Don't come to be anointed. Call that number, and someone will come out and anoint you there. So those things, we don't want to have a plague of some sort of illness going around in the feast. So please be aware of that. Okay. We're going to have, skipping over to page 5 here. Well, another thing I better mention on page 4, and that is to turn off your cell phones and do not text during services. I know you may be in withdrawal if you're not able to text some of you young people. I don't have that problem. Anyway, new technology. Because that will, seriously, that will interfere with the recording. So, and also we ask that you not record the services. If you would like to have a copy, we can make that provision available to you. We'll have an announcement on that later in the feast. We're going to have a meeting for those interested in the Ambassador Bible Center on Monday. We'll give you more details on that when the day comes. And also we'll be collecting cash and food donations for the food bank again this year. That will be the last 3 days of the feast. We'll be announcing that later on as well. And we have a teen Bible study, special one, that Jeff Richards is one of the song leaders, and he will be telling you more about that. It's going to be a very interesting, interactive study that you teens will certainly want to have a part in. And I know you like to get acquainted with other teens as soon as possible. So far, you have the best day of the feast for weather on Friday. I don't know what that means. Maybe your teens are praying better than we adults are. But it's supposed to be 78 degrees on Friday. So that should be wonderful. There's going to be a wonderful activity right outside the facility here on the grass. It's going to be a survivor type of activity. I've never seen anything like that before. But Paul Moody has something all organized. You're going to love it. I read this and I thought, wow, that's going to be really enjoyable. So, and we do need to pray for Family Day, by the way, because, and about the weather. Seriously, it's God's feast. He's the head of that department. We can't do anything about that ourselves, but we certainly can come before God in the name of Jesus Christ and say, Father, this is your feast. You told us to rejoice. We can certainly rejoice a lot better with sunshine than we can with cold weather and rain. So God knows that. Let's all pray about that, because I like to say we don't trust the weatherman. Is anybody? We trust God for the weather, not the forecast. So let's really take that seriously and pray about that as well. I'll be doing a Bible seminar. There'll be another seminar as well that Jack Scruggs will be doing on the subject of abuse, and a positive aspect, encouragement. So if you know of anyone who is victim of that, you'll want to attend that as well, and be able to learn how you can help such an individual, or perhaps you yourself might need that help. I'll be doing a Bible seminar on Thursday. It's going to be something I've given to the ministry at a recent ministerial conference on how to find and how to use Bible reference books, which is actually easier now than ever before and less expensive than ever before. It will include an overview of a free Bible software program called eSword, which has literally hundreds, even thousands of free modules, not all of which are applicable to us. But now more than ever before, you can actually build up a library for your Bible study that will help you without having to put out a whole lot of money. So I'll be telling you more about that if you plan to attend on Thursday afternoon. Mark Fike will be doing Young Adults Bible Study. This also will be an interactive discussion to help offer direction and establishing a spiritual foundation, something very, very important for young adults. So he's another song leader, so he can promote that more as well. And the singles activities, basically we have a room over there, a drop-in room. We also have a bulletin board area over there that you can use for planning your own activities. We've found that singles do like to plan their own activities, so we make provision for you to be able to do that. We also will be having festival youth instruction classes for children. Those will be on Sabbath and during the feast and Wednesday. This will be 15 minutes before services. Actually, if you get here half an hour before to get the kids settled, and it'll run through the announcements period. The announcements will be back in the normal place after tonight. So, and Family Day, again, weather permitting, if for some reason God chooses not to bless us with sunshine, we do have the option of moving indoors, but obviously we'd far rather be outdoors. One of the most, and by the way, Family Day is not Youth Day, okay? It's Family Day. It's for everybody. Children, older people, I won't put an age with that because I might convict myself, but there's something for everybody. One of the most popular activities last year was bingo. I mean, it was really, really popular. They have a lot of outdoor games and booths and activities. And for the little kids, we have one of these bounce houses. And, you know, if you're too old to bounce, you can watch the kids bounce and you get vicarious enjoyment. I mean, hey, we do that with sports, right? So we should be able to do that with this as well. We enjoy seeing the kids having a good time. And, of course, we have our annual Family Fun Show, which is always very, very popular. We do not have a family dance this year. We weren't able to do that because of the way the calendar fell, and it would have had to have been back-to-back with the Family Day, and the facility here was really not able to make that adjustment in terms of all the things that had to reset. So, but the good thing is there are two full days where no activities are planned, Sunday and Tuesday. We deliberately try to keep open time available for you to spend time with your family, to have other people over. And I know there are a lot of people really excited about that because the feast is a family time. And we got to be careful. We don't get so organized it just goes from one type A way of life out in the world to a type A thing. And here we're rushing to try to get all these things done. You know, God's way of life is a peaceful, enjoyable way. It's not this hectic pace that's out there in the world. You notice how many times in announcements and commercials that are made, they have this music pulsating in the background. You know, some people never just really calm down and relax. Or we are blessed to live out in the country from Lapine. We listen to the wind blowing through the pines. We listen to the rustle of the water in the mountain stream a mile from our house. That's what God's way of life is. It's a peaceful, happy time. So we want to be able to make sure that there's time for you to spend with your families and to invite other people over. I remember some of the earliest memories I have from the feast in Squaw Valley in 1962. Very similar area to here, by the way. It's, in fact, I used to say, and I guess I still do, but the Central Oregon area is very much like Squaw Valley, except with a lot more to do, you know, than what was to do down there. Restaurants, shopping, different things like that. But one of the things that was so popular down there in these big chalets that they have there is people having other people over and having a nice mini feast by having several families together, the whole family. So you have Sunday and Tuesday completely open to enjoy that and also to enjoy some of the area's attractions. And I want to mention to you as well, you may have seen these back in the information area. The Redmond Chamber of Commerce this year has put together a packet for all of us as feastgoers, which includes, and I'll just tell you what's in here, you want to take one per family because this gives you everything pretty much you need to know about the area. There's a historic downtown Redmond guide for downtown businesses. There's, let's see here, a map of the city of Redmond, and There's also Sisters. This is one of those shopping areas. Some of you have been there before. It's about 20 miles from here or so. A lot of unique shops there and so forth. If nothing else, you can window shop, you know. Windows don't cost much if you just look through them. So a lot of information there about Sisters. And, of course, the official visitor's guide for Bend. And also there is a, I don't have it in here, but there's a guide for where to eat, guide, speaking of feast. So those are all available along with a lot of other information back there at the information area. Also, one final thing in terms of what's available out there, and there's so many things. There are waterfalls, there are hiking trails, there are so many things to do in the Central Oregon area. You would never get it all done in 8 days' time. That's why you gotta have to keep coming back. And, you know, even then, you would never get everything done. It's a tremendous number of recreational activities. There are a few restaurants that have made special provision for us. Right up the street between here and the airport, on the left-hand side is the original Pancake House. My wife and I had breakfast there this morning. And they have, in fact, I have an announcement here. I'll tell you about them. There's that one. There's the View Restaurant, which is at the Juniper Golf Course, which is literally walking distance from here. Beautiful view of the golf course, big glass windows. And they have made special provisions for us as well, as has Applebee's. So I'll read you the announcement here. There are many restaurants in Redmond, but two in particular we'd like to mention. If you mention that you're with United at Applebee's, they will give you a 10% discount. The original Pancake House is also offering a 10% discount when you mention United. Everything in their restaurant is homemade, and they have many turkey products, including turkey bacon, turkey ham, turkey sausage, if you ask for it. Even their famous biscuits and gravy are pork-free. So now there actually is another one as well, and that I mentioned the View Restaurant, and they have... The manager's name is very easy to remember. It's Carol Burnett. Not the famous one, but that same name. All right, so here it is. Where is it? Anyway, they have a circular there on the information area. Here it is. 2013 Church of God Feast of Tabernacles. It shows a restaurant schedule over there for which days that they will especially welcome us with special meals. They have golf tournaments over there, so they're going to let you know, don't come these days because there's a golf tournament and we'll be too busy. We won't be able to take care of you as well. So you see in red letters down here, special menu. They actually have special menus set aside for us. And like I said, literally that's a stone's throw from here. So we also have concessions here this year at the feast, including on the last day, we have a special meal planned between services for your convenience that you can eat right here on site. So those are just some of the things, and you know, we'd be here for a long time if we talked about all the advantages, all the things there are to do here in the area. So I just want to encourage you to have a really wonderful, enjoyable feast. We've made plans to help you to do that. Some of the restaurants, like I said, have made provisions to help you enjoy the feast more as well. So certainly it's a time to really rejoice with all those things that are available. So we'll now conclude this orientation session with a congregational hymn, after which you'll have the opportunity to meet some of your new co-workers, as was said in the quote earlier, as well as to renew old friendships. And again, please let me know any way that I can help you to enjoy the feast. Services tomorrow will be at 1:30 in the afternoon. The Holy Day offering will be taken up tomorrow as well. So please remember to bring your personal Holy Day envelopes. And hope you all have a great night's sleep and a wonderful feast. And again, anything any of us can do to help you to enjoy the feast, please let us know, because that's why we're here.